Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're talking about this month living close to God and what that entails and how we do it and how we hopefully can learn to do it better. So this morning I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and we're going to look at just the first three verses. Because I think Paul says something here. It really arrested my attention when I read it and raised some questions in my own mind. And I hope it'll raise some in yours, but I hope it'll also help to answer some. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as you know, this is a church that Paul had founded, but it had caused him a lot of grief and heartache. It's a church that seemingly, on one hand, had all the gifts and abilities and all that it took to be a great church, but on the other hand, as Paul would describe them, they were carnal and worldly and just always something stirring within the church. And Paul, I know, spent a lot of time praying for God's intervention in their lives and in their church. But here he addresses in this 11th chapter another issue that has begun to trouble the church at Corinth. He writes in verse 1, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I read something not long ago that caused me to stop and think, and then it raised another question into my mind, and the question was, would you say that with all of the modern conveniences, the electronics, the technology, has that made your life simpler and slowed your life down? I would say most of us would say, well, in some ways it has made life simpler, but I'm not sure it has slowed the pace of my life down. Get a new phone and try to figure it out. And all those things a computer can do, I still don't know. But they are nice to have. But here's the question that that question stirred in my mind is, has the technology and the fast pace of life made it easier to live closer to God? And I had to answer that one with a resounding no. It caused me to go way, way back. In my early years of ministry. And life really was much simpler then. I'll tell you why. I've always liked to get up early. That was always my time of the day. And so in those early days, I would get up early and clean up, get ready for the day. And then I would go to a little prayer closet that I'd fixed up, and I'd spend time there with the Lord. Now, that was before the phones came in, the cell phones. That was before computers. That was before all of this stuff that distracts you. And I can tell you today, many, many, many years later, that if I'm not careful, all of these modern conveniences will steal my time away from the Lord. It's not as simple for me as it used to be to have that time with God. Because I don't wake up thinking, I need to check my email. And I don't wake up thinking, okay, I need to look at what I've got on the calendar today. I didn't have to do all of that. But today, that's the way that our world has sort of transformed all of us, especially those who really do long to walk closely with God. You know, years ago, I read a little booklet by a gentleman named Charles Hummel, just a little thin booklet. It is titled, The Tyranny of the Urgent. I carried that in my prayer book for years and years and years and would take it out and read it periodically. And if I could just condense it down to what he was really saying, it's something like this. Don't let the urgent take the place of what is important in your life. And he went on to say something also in that book that really caught my attention, still does every time I read it. He said, the strange thing is, the odd thing is, it is the urgent that screams for our attention, and the important is less noisy nor demanding. That is so true. So it raises the question again, what is important to you? What do you consider your top priorities in your life? You see, that to me is not an easy question, really, to answer honestly, because there's so many things of the urgent that are pulling at me all the time. And if I'm not careful, it's all these urgent things that pull me away from the most important thing. And one of the most important things in my life is my relationship with the Lord God and the time that I spend with Him. I want you to notice what Paul says there in verse 3. He said, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So here's what's happening. As I said, there's always something going on in the church at Corinth, pulling them apart and pulling them away from Christ. And now there are false teachers. One more thing that Paul has to try to squelch and remind the Corinthians of what the most important thing really is. And he said what they are doing with these false teachers is that they are pulling you away from the most important thing in your life, and that's your walk with Christ. That's your daily time with God. And they are filling your minds and pulling your minds away from Him. Now, the word simplicity that Paul uses here is really basically what it means. It means to be single-hearted, to be single-minded. It means to be crystal clear. It means to be focused. So what I think Paul is saying here as he uses this word is that simplicity that he's talking about is keeping one's heart close to Christ and shedding, if you will, those things that distract us from Him. That's the simplicity he's talking about. I titled today's message, It's Simple, But Not Easy. And you know, if you boil it down, you think, you know, what is this Christian life all about? Well, really, it's simple. It's about walking with Christ and staying close to Christ and spending time with Christ and letting Christ live with you and through you through the day. But that's not easy, is it? It's not easy. You see, it sounds simple, but it really isn't easy. And it's not easy because we have all kinds of distractions that come between our heart pursuing Christ. And then we have Satan. And Paul identifies here. He says, I fear lest somehow the serpent, that is Satan, our arch enemy, loves to do nothing more than to distract us from Christ, pull our minds in 1,000 different directions, fill our days with so much busyness that we don't have time to spend alone in prayer or in reading the Word with the Lord God. And so Satan comes along and he not only tries to distract us, but he fills our minds with all kinds of negative thoughts and negative feelings and always accusing us of how unworthy we are to really even walk with Christ. You know, years ago, I had the opportunity to spend about 10 minutes just one-on-one with Henry Blackaby. As you know, he wrote Experiencing God and other things. To me, one of the godliest men of our generation. But in a strange way, it worked out. I had about 5 to 10 minutes just with him. And I asked him this question. How do you maintain your time with the Lord every day? And I said to him, that's the biggest struggle I have as a pastor. It's keeping my time with God a priority, the most important thing. And I don't know if you've ever been up close with Henry Blackaby, but he could bore a hole through a brick wall when he looks at you. And he looked me square in the eyes and said something to the effect, if it is really important to you, you'll do it. He said, he told me a little bit about his own time. He said, I started meeting with the Lord at 6 o'clock in the morning years ago and found that that wasn't long enough. And I backed it up to 5:30 and that wasn't long enough. And then to 5 and he got to about 4:30 and I thought, oh my word. But he said, I realized if it's important to me, I'm going to take the time and find the time and make the time to schedule God into my life. I want to tell you, when he got through with me, I wanted to crawl into a hole. But he said things that have resonated in my mind ever since. There was no doubt in his mind what was the most important thing, and that was his relationship with the Lord. So I want to do a couple of things here through this text today. The first one is just simply do a diagnosis of the problem. You see, if there is any way in the world that Satan can distract us from a simple, consistent, daily, meaningful time alone with God, he's going to do it. You can count on it. I want you to listen to Jesus' words in the parable of the sower, but I want to just focus in on just part of it, and that's in verse 7 and then in verse 14. He's talking about the sower scattering seed. And in verse 7 of Luke chapter 8, he says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. So get the picture, scattering seeds, and some falls among thorns. But the thorns are like weeds, they can grow anywhere, and they choke out the seed. He's talking there about the Word of God, of course. Verse 14, he gives the explanation. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Let me put it in our language. If we're not careful, life today can become cluttered up with worries, with the pursuits of life, and all the things that we have to contend with on a daily basis. If we're not careful, it will choke out that desire and that pursuit of Jesus Christ. Years ago, I read, and I don't know who said it, but it was worth remembering. They said, if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. Because either way, your devotion to Christ will shrivel. You see, the busy soul gets attached to the wrong things. And the busy soul becomes cluttered. Cluttered with things that choke out the sufficient time and the need that we should take for prayer and for time alone in devotion to Christ. You see, a busy life is always cluttered, but it's at the same time empty. Let me tell you why I know that's true. If my life gets too busy, or I think it's too busy, to spend quality time in prayer and just alone meditating, thinking, reading Scripture, over time, I just sense this emptiness growing in me. It's like I'm hollowing out. And that's why a busy soul is an empty soul. And the problem with that is, in America and with most of us, if we cease to be busy, do we really matter? So, we've equated busyness with importance. Busyness means I'm worth something. Busyness means I'm the kind of person that's going to get it done. And so we get on this fast pace in life, and the busier we are, the more important we think we are, the greater contribution we think we're making, but inside, we're hollowing out because our life is getting cluttered with everything but what it really ought to be cluttered with. But you see, here's the amazing thing. That we can have a close, personal relationship with Almighty God. But because we live in a fallen world, everything around us seems to just work against living close to Him. Just watch your life. Think back over this past week. Everything, it seems, just mitigates against time with God. And you see, then we look at our lives and they've become cluttered with busy schedules, with work responsibilities, with family obligations. And then we have this almost addiction to our phones and our computers and social media. And it pulls at us from morning to night. And we think, how in the world could I ever, ever have time with God? You see, what that leads to is a fragmented heart. And a fragmented heart has a hard time staying close to God. For several years now, I've read books by a gentleman. He's now deceased. His name is Gene Edwards. Wrote about 30 books. Gene Edwards had a heart for God. But he talks about being the kind of person. He was a great preacher and evangelist, and his books have been published in over 20 languages and over 70 countries. He is a well-read man on the deeper life, the deeper walk with God. But he would tell you, if he were to stand in this pulpit today, how to live close to God for those with whom it's not easy. He said, it was never easy for me. He said, I had a learning disability. I was dyslexic. And he said, then on top of that, he said, I had this kind of personality that had a hard time not just sitting still, but concentrating. He said, I was always here and always there. And he said, trying to find a way to spend time with God for me was one of the greatest struggles of my life. But he said, I finally came to the realization that I could take some time if I really decided to spend with God. And he said, then I learned through the day to take just little breaks and turn my heart upward to God. You see, I think there are Christians all over this world who wonder, is it really possible to live close to God in this busy, frantic, fast-paced life that I live? I think a lot of people really doubt, can it be done? It can, but it's not going to happen on accident. You know, that leads to another thing that I think Paul is implying here, and that is there are decisions that have to be made. You see, closeness to God requires our willingness to let go of those things that keep us at arm's length from Him. You know, it reminded me of that verse over in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1. And the writer says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now listen to what he says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's some wise counsel in those few words. You see, the answer to living close to God, the answers aren't theological. And they aren't based upon intellectual capacity. But the answer really lies in taking control over what goes on in our lives. That's where the answer is. You see, God intended it to be simple. Did you know that it's estimated around 95 to 98% of the people of Jesus' day could not read or write? They were simple, uneducated people. Now, would God, who wants to know people and wants people to know Him, do you think He would have made walking closely with Him difficult? No, He didn't. People then were simple, uneducated. But He also knew what He knows in our modern educated world today. It's simply a matter of taking control over what is pulling you away in your life from Him. I like what Dallas Willard, by the way, if you've never gotten acquainted with him, he's deceased as well, but one of the great, great spiritual writers of our day. He wrote a book called The Spirit of the Disciplines. And in that book, he said, here's the definition of simplicity. It's the arrangement of life around a few consistent purposes and excluding what is not necessary. Simplicity, arranging your life around a few consistent purposes and excluding what is not necessary. Now, that's a pretty good definition of simplicity. Now, for a moment, I want to ask you to do something. I want everyone that you're close to in life to just sort of fade from your mind for a few moments. And now I want you to just look at your life. Just you, not your husband, wife, kids, whoever. And ask yourself this question: what's keeping me from living close to God? Let me suggest a few things. Has your personal life become cluttered? Is the stuff that you're carrying around in your life a weight? As Hebrews 12:1 says, maybe not a sin, it's just a weight. It's cluttered up your life. You know when your closet's cluttered, and you know when your desk is cluttered, you know when your car is cluttered. Do you know when your life is cluttered? What about your mind? Is your mind cluttered with worry or guilt or self-doubt or fear? Ask yourself, has my personal life become cluttered? Here's another question. Are too many things draining your energy, your enthusiasm, and it leaves you exhausted and maybe even a little bit resentful? Do you need to back away from things? Do you need to say no more often? Has your involvement in all those things become your excuse for drifting away from God? Here's a third. Is there something you must do to make time to meet with God? Maybe it's just setting an appointment and saying, you know, tomorrow at whatever time, I have an appointment with God. It's an unbreakable appointment. And it's a time that I'm going to set that I know I can pretty much be uninterrupted. And that maybe is going to require to say, well, you know, that's no TV time. That's not going to be computer time. That's not going to be phone time. That's just going to be my time with God. You see, decisions have to be made if you really want to walk closely with God, live closely with Him. But I want to say this. I hope, and this is not my intent, to make anyone feel overwhelmed or guilty, because this is an area of the Christian life every single Christian on earth struggles with. But the intent of my heart and what God did in helping me as I worked through some of this in my own life is to remind me of the need that I must spend time daily walking with Christ, even in the busyness and the blur of everyday living in modern America. So I hope you see that. You know, it's been said that even the most complex problems have a simple solution. I think the same is true as in a Christian spiritual life. You know, I think there are those of us, and I've been one of them. Have you ever thought something like this? If I could just get away in a remote mountain cabin for a year without anybody else and nobody else interrupting me, if I could just get alone for 1 year, then I could get close to Christ. You ever thought that? Now I will say this, it's good to, if you can, take a day or two or three and get alone and just spend it in Bible study and prayer and journaling and letting God speak to your heart. Those are great times of just renewing your walk with Christ. But for the truth of the matter, getting away for an extended period of time is highly unlikely for any of us. But here's what I think we see in the New Testament. Here's what I think God understands. You and I are not going to learn to live closely with God and walk closely with Christ while we are living out of the mainstream of life. I don't think God ever intended it. But what I do think is, He knew that we will come to know Him by learning to draw near to Him in the worst and the busiest days of our lives. You look at Jesus' life. I love that verse there in Mark 1, verse 35. He got up a great deal before daylight. He had spent the whole day before healing people, and he wanted time to get alone and be with God. And the first thing he knows, here comes the disciples pitter-pattering after him. What are you doing out here so early in the morning? Jesus' whole ministry was lived from town to town, person to person, conflict to conflict. But what was important in his life? Time with his heavenly Father. Please listen. Living close to God is simple, but it's not easy. Not easy. I want to challenge you, as Paul did the Corinthians, find the simplicity of living and walking closely with God through the busyness and the hurriedness of your everyday life. And you'll find that God will indeed draw near to you as you draw near to Him. Let's bow together. Father, I thank you this morning that you understand the lives that we live, the times in which we live. You understand the challenges of our day. And yet, Lord, I know this, that you do not offer that as a way out for us from spending time with you, being alone with you, learning more about you through prayer and just quietly communing with you. I pray for all of us today, right here, because it's a struggle for every born-again child of God. We have an arch enemy named Satan who despises anyone who really wants to walk with God. And so we know we have him to contend with. But then all these other things, Lord, if we're not careful, they cheat us out of that time with you. So my prayer this morning is for each of us that we would understand and ask ourselves this question. What is really important in my life? And if it is important, I'm going to make time for it. Just as I would for anything else, I'm going to make time for my time with God. I would hope many of us would just right now today say, Lord, forgive me. I have drifted from you and drifted from time alone with you. I've let this, that, and the other come between us. But God, by your help and your grace and by my commitments, my surrender, I want to start over, spending time with you and really walking through each day with you. God's spoken to you this morning. That's his way of saying, hey, I love you. And I really want to live life with you each and every day. Maybe God's spoken to you about something totally different today. Maybe someone here doesn't know the Lord Jesus. You know about him, but you don't know him. There's no better day than today. But as God speaks in these next moments, I trust you'll respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please?